the late 80s, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the podcast Pat Trek. My continuing mission to introduce my friend Patrick to the best show that ever ran on television, and to boldly go where millions of white guys with glasses have gone before.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to Pat Trek. This is the show where my friend Pat O'Rourke introduces me, Patrick Winiger, to Star Trek The Next Generation, a show that I've never seen.
And a show I have seen a ton of times. And Patrick, I love this episode. I've got a lot of heart for it. That look, that side eye. I can understand.
I don't understand the holodeck episodes. I don't get it.
You just don't like them?
Not really. Like, there's so many loose ends that don't make sense. The holodeck does not make sense.
I do not disagree with you there, but I have a lot of heart for this episode because of what it sets up for later. One of my favorite episodes of Star Trek Next Generation ever is Ship in a Bottle.
Well, this one
is a nice like prequel to it.
This one is Elementary Dear Data.
Yeah, and joining us today is Carlos Luna. Welcome back, Carlos.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
How are you doing, man?
Doing great. Just watched this awesome episode of Star Trek. Turns out it was the same one that you guys were watching the entire time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was.
Whoa.
What are your views on the holodeck?
Man, I thought fondly of the holodeck until I saw this episode.
Oh, and no. Now
yeah, it kind of
doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. And also, it seems like everyone is liberally using the holodeck.
Yeah.
But it also sounds like a lot of people have never used the holodeck before.
Yeah.
Or are unfamiliar with the holodeck.
They explain how it works to everyone every single time.
Which they really should have, with a crew this big, they really should have someone manning the holodeck.
Oh, yeah, like a holodeck attendant.
Yeah.
Just some guy that you, that yeah. Like,
and for how often the safety.
Yeah, they always
the
have
safeties
like,
break.
Yeah. They always like override the whatever safety thing.
Yeah.
Something
yeah.
always goes wrong. It's like people get vaporized in there.
It seems like
it could take over the ship.
No one is really trained on the holodeck. So like they should at least train one person.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. like just like hang out there.
If you rent a photo booth to like use at a wedding, they make you have an attendant there like make sure you're using the photo booth correctly.
If you rent a bouncy house, like they have a guy that explains everything the day of.
Right.
And that's just like some vinyl and plastic that's filled with air.
Right. Like it's usually won't kill you.
Yeah.
This can definitely kill you, and it almost does
every time.
Almost every time that they use it.
That's true. Well, fun fact for this episode is the ending we all just watched was not the original ending. It was actually cut by Gene Roddenberry. I think the original ending would have been a much better way to conclude this story.
What was that?
Picard tricks Moriarty into leaving the holodeck and disappearing.
Oh.
But Gene Roddenberry thought it made Picard look deceitful, and that wasn't true to Picard's character.
Yeah.
Instead, not really much happens at the end, but we'll get to that as we go through the recap.
All right. Well, first, before that, let's do Patrick's log. This show came out on December 5th, 1988. So what was going on that day? Well, actor Gary Busey got into a terrible motorcycle crash.
Oh.
He wasn't wearing a helmet. As we all know.
Oh, explains a lot.
Yeah. As we all know, he turned out fine and is not weird at all. So, some good news that we know it turned out all right. Also, the head of the DNC is stepping down in 1988.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Paul Kirk, after losing to Dukakis, lost to George Bush. I guess they had a shakeup. And there was a conflict between like the more liberal wing of the party led by Jesse Jackson and like the more conservative wing of the party. So there's like kind of a mirror image of stuff happening now.
Yeah.
So that's something that kind of rhymes with current events. But this other one
rhymes with current events.
You know, it rhymes with what's going on right now. It's like I've noticed a lot of the stuff that when I look back at the headlines, it's like, oh, that sounds like exactly what's going on today. This next one, though, doesn't.
Ooh, I'm excited.
Okay. So this headline says, Soviet surprise attack on NATO, unlikely, U.S. study concludes. Like, I keep getting reminded when I go through there, it's like, oh yeah, this is when we all thought we were going to die in a nuclear war.
Right.
And now they're like, oh yeah, hey, that's probably not going to happen. We're all right.
Well, finally.
Finally.
We can stop hiding under our desks.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's pretty much what I got.
All right. Well, let's get into the episode.
Yeah. Elementary Dear Data. And I'm sorry, already the name is dumb as hell.
What? Yeah. Come on. You guys, am I the only one in this room who gets amusement from this episode? Am
I mean, it's amusing, but then it's like, it's kind of tries to be amusing. And I can't take anyone seriously when they're dressed like that on a starship.
It's a fun episode, guys.
Yeah, you know, yeah, but they almost die.
It was. I would say it was set up to be a fun episode, but like not a lot of anything happened. There's a lot of buildup. There's like a lot of turns where like, okay, something's gonna happen. They're revving up for this. They're revving up for that. Nothing happens.
I was set up to see a mystery, which
nothing happens.
Nothing happened.
Nothing really happened.
And why did they
I'll tell you. I'll call out the point where something major happens.
All right. Okay. Well, yeah.
Nobody believes me.
You know, well, because I saw the episode, but you know, maybe it's setting something up for future episodes.
It sets the table beautifully.
Okay. Well, at the opening of the episode, the Enterprise is trying to wait for the ship, the USS Victory. I guess they're going to do a rendezvous for some reason. It's never really explained why. Data gets summoned on an urgent call to engineering. And Geordi LaForge's assistant is like, oh, he's over there with the Victory. And Data's confused. He's like, we haven't gotten to the Victory yet. And it turns out she was talking about a model of a ship.
Yeah, that was actually built by Geordi, not replicated.
Yeah, he built a like wooden model of the HMS Victory, which I think was Admiral Nelson's ship. But it's a big like sailing vessel, and
who's Admiral Nelson? Yeah. I know that is the cheap rum.
No, he was a British admiral, like during the Napoleonic War.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, he did like a Battle of Trafalgar. It is like a big thing in the British Navy. Okay. But and I think the Victory was his ship. But Geordi has like built it, and he's like super into this thing.
Yeah,
and he has to explain to Data. It's just like, no, it's great. Like to build stuff with your hands. This is what being human is all about, building models of ships, apparently. I didn't really get that part. But then he's like, now that I showed you my passion, we're going to indulge in yours, which is pretending to be Sherlock Holmes.
Right? So yeah. This was set up in season one that he loved Sherlock Holmes.
Was this a surprise for Data? I can't remember if this was like...
Yeah.
It was like a surprise. Like, oh, I guess
he sent an urgent call, and he's like, you sent me an urgent call to like look at the ship. And
so he's like... He's like pretend, bro. We're gonna pretend right now.
We're gonna play pretend, dude. It's gonna be awesome.
That's so weird.
And not weird at all.
So weird.
That's a callback to the same episode. Well, they did a similar style episode in season one where Picard was pretending to be. It was like a pulp detective.
Yeah, they love mysteries.
I guess it's just weird for Geordi.
Why?
Not really. He's super nerdy.
Yeah,
I totally bought this part. Like it.
He's got to go play with this robot friend.
Yeah, but that's what I mean, because you know he's sitting inside his room building his ship, being like, oh, man, you know, I can't wait to make my robot friend happy. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, we're going to do this mystery, and it's going to be so cool.
That is definitely, like, I haven't seen much of the show, but that is definitely what he would do.
That's horrible. No one must be friends with Geordi on the show.
No, they're not.
No, because he hugs you just a little too long.
Oh. Yeah, he's a little clingy.
He's a little much sometimes.
Yeah, but Data loves
it. Reading Rainbow, if you know what
I
mean.
Yes, yeah.
You know what I just thought of? Geordi and Data are the R2-D2 and C-3PO of Star Trek.
They're super nerds.
Yeah,
on a starship.
One of them is a straight man. One of them's kind of like the funny, quirky one or whatever. Like,
mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. I like that analogy. That works
for
me.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
But, man, they are nerdy as hell. They put on, like... And I think you brought this up, Carlos. It's like, they don't have to dress up.
They don't.
No.
No, there's no reason.
Yeah, because, like, the computers, the programs in the holodeck will recognize them as whatever they're supposed to be. They just dress up because they can, I guess.
Cosplay, guys! Yeah. You're getting caught up in the fantasy of it. It's fun.
So. I mean, they got a replicator that can make anything, so, you know, why not put on a suit? You can.
Fully immersed.
So, Come on, how fun would that be? Like,
it would be pretty cool.
I want to dress up as Goku. If I had a holodeck, I would dress up as Goku and go on that holodeck.
That would be your go-to?
That would be your go-to?
Oh, my God, would it? Wouldn't that be awesome?
Geordi LaForge would call you to see a ship. And he'd be like, but I know why you're really here.
That wouldn't be a mystery.
Shoot Kamehamehas.
Is this Geordi dressed like Piccolo?
Or it would be Star Trek, which would get real meta.
Yeah. So Data is dressed up like Sherlock Holmes. Mm-hmm. And Geordi is dressed up like Dr. Watson. And they go and they sort of like, computer, do this Sherlock Holmes bullshit. And the computer's like, all right, cool. And they're in Sherlock Holmes' study. Data has read all of these, so he knows everything about Sherlock Holmes. He's playing a violin. Data is pretending to write about Sherlock Holmes. It is nerdy as hell.
You know what? Here's something.
Geordi's writing about him.
I wonder if in this scene he solves a mystery, right? He saw the
immediately.
Like two men come in and he solves it. And Geordi says, like, oh, you know that story or whatever.
Yeah, it's no fun.
Okay. Yeah. Can someone, I wonder if someone's super nerdy out there listening to this who knows about Sherlock Holmes, because when they enter the room, Data explains that the only thing Holmes keeps is like, you know,
things that are important to him.
Yeah. And he's picking up little trinkets that he solved from this case and that case and this case. Okay. Now he picks up some type of pin, a snuff box, you know, those types of things.
Good laugh moment at that snuff box. Am I right, guys?
I mean, they just said snuff box. I mean, there was no joke about
I
snuff
laughed.
Box.
It was funny.
I mean, it's a snuff box.
And he was like looking at it with such reverence. Anyway, continue with your point.
Okay, but
Sherlock loves drugs.
I wonder if they actually... So those are things that happen in the Sherlock Holmes series.
Yeah.
Okay, but he also solves a mystery that happens in the Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
I wonder if it happens in order of publication. That's what I'm saying. Is there a Sherlock Holmes nerd out there listening to this that can tell me, like, Sherlock Holmes didn't have that snuff box by the time,
he
solved that mystery? That's the stuff I think of when I
watch. I've only read a few of the mysteries, but like there is continuity in them.
Okay,
because he calls back, he's like, oh, hey, Watson, remember when we did this? Blah, blah, blah. That's like this.
Yeah.
They do refer to other mysteries in the series.
So did he have the snuff box before he had the photograph or he solved that one?
If there's a continuity error, that would be interesting to find. But it is an actual... there are two guys from Scandal in Bohemia, which is the name of the that particular...
Mystery.
That's what Memory Alpha is telling me. Show up and, you know, Data has read it. Yeah. So he's like, oh, this happened.
Yeah. Yeah, just jumps right to the end.
In Data's defense, like, Geordi's a little hard on him here.
Yeah, he just leaves.
He pouts and leaves.
Yeah.
Like,
that's why Geordi has no human friends.
Yeah, I think it's starting to make sense.
In Data's defense, what was he supposed to do? Not solve the mystery?
Right, I know. Like, what did he expect would happen?
Yeah.
Like,
how dumb is it to do a already done publication in there? It's like when we're playing Dungeons & Dragons together.
Exactly. Right.
It's like, oh, we've already played the starter kit. Let's play it again.
Yeah, like...
You're like, no, we know how this thing plays out.
Was Geordi like, hey, we're just going to act out Fight Club right now? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that story's already been written. Like, what did he expect to happen?
Right.
So, yeah, they're talking about this in 10 Forward, which is the bar.
With no Whoopi.
Yeah. And
great moment. She's on the show now. Where is she?
Still in costume, by the way.
Oh, yeah, they are in costume.
They are dressed like idiots.
Yeah,
like,
so weird.
This would be like dressing up in like medieval garb and hang out.
It'd be like dressing up like a caveman.
Right.
Yeah.
have you guys ever seen those bar crawls where they do that?
No.
That's
Is
true.
Is that a real thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Costumes are fun.
I believe you. I'm just
they're
saying,
just having fun in those costumes.
I guess so.
As opposed to what we're used to seeing.
Well, it's their day
which
off.
Is like everyone.
Yeah,
exactly.
There's probably not a lot of cynicism too. There's probably not a lot of people just like
that's been like bred out of us.
Yeah, just making fun of people.
Making fun of nerds has been like we've evolved past it.
Making fun of people who are different than you probably isn't like the standard.
They're
thing
better
going on.
People than us.
The only one who really does that is Pulaski. Am I right?
Pulaski's a real jerk here.
Oh, she's the worst. Because
she overhears them and is like, Data's an idiot. He's a robot. He can't solve mysteries.
He has no inspiration.
Jesus Christ.
Like, oh, man.
She's the worst.
Yeah.
This is the first time I've ever seen her before.
Right.
She's very mean.
Because you watched season one with us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's very mean to Data.
She is. Seems like a horrible human being.
Yeah. So she's saying all this mean stuff about how robots can't like be intuitive. Like he's just learning everything by rote. And they basically, she starts a bet. That's like, I bet he can't solve an original mystery.
Yeah.
And Data's like, you're on. I can do it. And now Geordi is back in his corner. He's like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to prove like, Pulaski wrong.
We're going to do something fun right now.
Yeah. So
doesn't this sound fun?
It does.
It does be really fun.
So this setup was cool. This setup was cool.
But they could have started here.
Right.
Yeah. They could have started the entire show right here. You know, them dressing up and talking about Sherlock Holmes or whatever. It could have just started right here and be like, oh, Data could never solve a mystery.
Well, yeah, they didn't need to go do the beginning thing.
They didn't need to do anything in the beginning.
They could have said, like, oh, so this means we're going to do an already existing Sherlock mystery? And Geordi would say, no, that's a horrible idea. Yeah. Why would we do that? That would be boring to see. We're going to do this.
Yeah.
Instead, they showed us that thing.
Yeah, first 15 minutes could have been cut out of this episode.
Yep.
Man, but then we didn't get all of that wonderful buildup.
Oh, my God.
It was boring, dude. God.
It was pretty bad.
Okay.
This setup, though, is cool. Because Data,
cool setup, though.
It's on the line for Data to prove for, like, all android kind
yeah.
that he can solve
he can be
mystery.
Creative, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so they're setting up the holodeck to be like, all right, we want, computer, we want a new mystery, just in the home style, but, like, we got to, you know, solve a new thing mm-hmm. for Data. We got to challenge them. But when they go in there, you know, they're back in London. And they go through this thing explaining how the holodeck works to someone that I assume has already been on the holodeck before.
Pulaski hasn't been there before.
She hasn't been
That's
there?
That's what she says.
She hasn't been there. Okay.
They're letting children play with dangerous tools.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's just allowed on the holodeck, I guess.
Apparently. Yeah, so they're like, yeah, no, it projects an image on the wall and it keeps moving, and so even though the room is small, it feels like it's really huge. Yeah. Okay, we get it. But then all these different elements of different, like, Sherlock Holmes mysteries start happening.
Yeah.
And I recognize one of them. So he was like, this guy's going to die. He was being led to this trap where he's going to pull this doorbell ring and a snake is going to fall down. That's from, I think, a mystery called The Speckled Band. But that was inside. This guy pulls like a dumbwaiter thing and a snake's supposed to fall yeah. down and kill him. But this is outside and it's being Boom. Combined with another mystery. So yeah. like, oh wait, the computer is just like taking bits and pieces from different Sherlock Holmes mysteries.
Mixing it up.
And mixing them up. That's not a challenge. Like, he can still recognize all this stuff. And he does. Like, he solves it immediately.
Yeah.
So let's challenge Data.
Yeah. So they start messing with the computer again. And LaForge is like, all right, no, computer, we want a new character. Someone that can defeat Data. Because that was one of the things Pulaski said, is like, the thing about being human is you learn from failure. Mm-hmm. So the threat of failure has to be real in order for Data to actually be challenged and, I guess, learn what it means to be a human. So the computer's like, all right, you want me to create a powerful being capable of going toe-to-toe with this already immensely powerful being who's, like, super strong and incredibly smart. All right, this is what you're telling me to do. Nothing has ever gone wrong in the holodeck before.
This is where things get so muddled.
I know.
I'm like, what an actual challenge is.
Yeah.
Like, how does the holodeck not know what a challenge is?
I know. They had to explain to it three times.
Yeah. Just in the style of an actual mystery. That's all they had to do, is just come up with a mystery for Data. Not so much come up with, like, a sentient being.
Yeah. Like, they didn't need the computer to create life.
The computer went
from... But that's what it does!
I don't know!
But the computer went... Like, let's just look at the jump that the computer took at this time.
Right.
It went from, like, reading an exact book word for word to mixing up pages in a couple books for the second mystery, and then the third one is being God himself.
Right.
And creating a being that is smarter than the holodeck itself.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's what they ask.
Yeah, why did they do this?
That's what they ask of the computer.
Yeah, but also, like,
make an opponent for Data that could beat him.
No, I completely understand that, but, like,
so the computer was just doing its job.
This is like one of those fables, I guess, where someone finds, like, a monkey's paw or some shit, and, like, they wish for something and accidentally get something horrible.
It's a genie, apparently.
It's basically the holodeck is a genie.
And how come no one's used the power? If the holodeck is so... I got too many questions.
I know. I have a lot of questions about it. They will come up.
Yeah, I don't want to go down
the holodeck. So, like, it creates this thing, and it creates a power surge. And Worf is on the bridge. He's like, oh, that's weird. There's a power surge on the ship. I wonder... Holodeck must be creating a god again. All right.
It didn't create a god. It created consciousness.
Yeah.
Which that is the thing that happens in this episode.
Yeah,
that is so awesome.
That part is kind of cool, but it's the way that it took to get there was...
I agree. But this whole idea of you got Data, right? And we treat Data like a living being.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
What the holodeck created essentially the exact same thing.
But
so doesn't it deserve at least, at the very least,
the same rights and privileges that Data gets.
Yeah.
But what is also, they really don't explain what his limits are and how he's gaining this knowledge, because he has knowledge outside the holodeck too. So like, why?
Because he can access the computer.
So he is, I don't know. I got lost in the meta state of the entire, all right,
let's keep going. We're getting a little ahead of ourselves, but.
Yeah, so there's this power surge. It quickly passes, and they're back in the mystery again. But then they're like, you know, they're wandering around trying to solve crimes and shit, and they hear a scream, and they go back, and they find that Dr. Pulaski has been kidnapped. All they see is her shoe, and Data is, like, figuring out all this stuff from footprints, but every time he goes into character, he does his dumb British accent.
Yeah.
He's just like, oh, you couldn't see by the footfalls that one of them works.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that, because you know this guy.
Who he would do that.
Yeah. Right. And you also know that, like, the actor playing Data.
Oh,
like,
Brent Spiner?
Yeah, like, he does, like, his entire character on this show is to show no emotion. You
right.
know? And, like, now he gets to, like, play
he's
it
got
up.
An outlet.
Yeah, he's going for it.
Because he's a great actor.
He did. Yeah. He's a good actor, yeah.
So they're, like, running around solving this stuff, and, you know, Geordi gets to break into the British accent, too, and he's trying to figure out how this guy's been strangled.
Very forced.
Oh, he's incredibly forced.
Well, it looks like he was strangled from behind.
But it fits with Geordi. Like, you know that he would do it, and
they're
getting
into it.
He would just chew the scenery and just be bad at it.
Yeah.
So they're on a mystery. So she's kidnapped.
She's gone.
So she's gone. And they're like, we're going to solve this mystery.
Right. That's what they think the mystery is.
And Geordi's only thing that he told the holodeck was to, like, come up with someone that can outsmart Data or whatever. That doesn't happen in this episode.
No.
It doesn't happen at all. Like, they don't come up with an actual mystery. It's just a kidnapping, and the guy walks across the street.
Yeah.
He just walks down the street with someone.
Yeah.
There's no mystery at all. He actually comes into the room and says, this person is inside this room with us.
But that's the point.
But that's not the mystery.
There is no mystery. Because he is now self-conscious.
But then
he doesn't have to abide by any program anymore. He's a living being.
The holodeck
didn't
do its job.
It made someone who's self-conscious.
But it should have made someone self-conscious that makes a mystery.
Here's the thing. As a viewer, I went into this expecting a mystery.
Where's my fucking mystery?
I know. That's what I wanted.
The mystery is a beam of energy that is self-aware, living or not.
That's what I signed on for, man.
That's the mystery.
So it's saying that life itself.
Yeah, what is life?
A mystery.
Boom. Oh,
that's you, lame. That's lame. Yeah.
Come on, Carl. It's coming my side. Like this episode.
Yeah, I'm getting closer to coming here. So got pretty meta.
We kind of get an idea of, like, who immediately kidnapped them when we see Moriarty, who is, like, the big villain in Sherlock Holmes.
Who's also the butler from The Nanny.
Yeah, you're
the
right.
TV show
he's
The Nanny.
The butler from The Nanny.
Yeah, I totally forgot that.
He's, like, just hanging out on the street, and he is figuring out. We watch him figure out that he's inside of a computer, and he, like, calls for the holodeck Arch to show up. And the Arch shows up, and, you know, he's able to figure out where he is, basically. And he kind of leads Data to track him down, and, you know, they find his lab, because I guess they found that out through the footprints.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, you're Holmes and Watson, but you're not Holmes and Watson.
So he knows that. He definitely knows that.
Right, yeah.
Well, he's learning. He was just born, like, 20 minutes ago.
Right. And he's able to call for the Arch, and he shows them. He's like, oh, by the way, look what I can do. It's pretty cool. And they are freaked the hell out.
How can everyone call the Arch?
They can't. That's the point.
They don't even know. He's not even supposed to know he's a computer program.
No.
But let's say he does know he's a computer program. But he doesn't. He doesn't take up space anywhere. So the holodeck still has to run the program of him the entire time. He cannot exist without the holodeck.
Right. Exactly.
So the holodeck is this program.
Yes. Well, the holodeck is.
So is the holodeck
program
outside of this program? Is the holodeck self-aware?
No.
No.
But, like, by him being the holodeck, it's kind of like this. If I, draw a face on my body, you know what I mean? Like, I myself, and I use my hand to, like, I draw a face, like a puppet on my hand.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I start talking to
it. Yeah, you do that thumb thing.
The thumb
and the knuckle thing.
Yeah,
put a little lipstick.
Yeah, I do that. That's basically what the holodeck's doing.
Yeah.
The holodeck is this program. The program exists on its hand. Just because it's talking from the hand doesn't mean it can't exist.
That's a great point.
Without the holodeck itself. So it's like...
Well, the ship's computer.
Right.
The ship's computer.
Right.
So it's inside there. So all it is just a hand. You know, like Moriarty is just a hand. It doesn't have actual consciousness.
But if
doesn't
he knows,
that make it so much more interesting?
But he knows, it's as if that drawing on your hand suddenly was able to talk back to you and know that it's a drawing on your hand.
It's like, you drew me here. Why did you draw me?
I didn't make you say that.
No.
Kill
because
me.
All the computing is being done through my head, though.
Yeah.
Like, all the computing is being done through the holodeck because it can't exist without it.
Right now, you've gotten to an even bigger question, Carlos. Don't you see? Is the computer of the Enterprise self-aware now?
It's been split, yeah. So, like, it's schizophrenic.
What?
It's schizophrenic at this point.
That's awesome!
Okay.
I still wanted a mystery.
I still want a fucking mystery.
And it didn't give it to me.
Still getting a side-eye from Patrick.
So... this is how he proves to them that he knows where he is. Like, he's like, oh, I'm going to draw you this thing where I think I am right now. He shows a piece of paper to Data, who freaks out and immediately leaves with the paper.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Right here.
Does he take it out?
Hey, at one point in season one, Picard walks out with lipstick on his collar.
And like, how did that happen?
So I guess some simple objects. I don't know. I don't get it.
But, yeah, so he shows the piece of paper to Geordi, and it's a drawing of the Enterprise. Moriarty drew the ship that he's on.
See, it's just a ransom at this point.
Yeah.
It's a mystery.
It's actually almost a polite ransom.
Right.
Because, like, Moriarty isn't done talking to Data, and Data's like, okay, I'm out of here, and he jets, right?
Yeah.
So it's just like, all Moriarty really wanted to do is just, like, be like, hey, man, I'm alive. I got your girl in the back. She's all right. I'll hurt her if you hurt me.
Yeah.
All Moriarty wants
is
what Data wants from Pulaski.
See,
that's all he wants.
But he shouldn't want that. Because under the parameters that Geordi made was to create a mystery for he is created in Data's image.
But those are two separate statements. Because later he goes, make an adversary, something like this, make an adversary who could outsmart Data.
Yeah, he said to make a person, basically.
Okay.
Right. So that's where
so he didn't realize
episode
what he was
is
doing.
Beautiful. Is because Pulaski is still the centerpiece of it as well.
It's because Geordi played God.
Geordi kind of manipulated a device that could play God.
Right. Which you'd think they would know not to do by this point.
Yeah, with all the problems they've had over
like,
and over again.
Yeah, you know, it's like, hey, guys, don't mess with the holodeck. You could either vaporize... you could either get trapped in there, you could get the mortality thing overridden, you could make a fake lady that Riker falls in love with again. Just don't mess with it.
Yeah, just
we know what happens.
That fake lady, for example, was self-aware.
Yes.
So it's already happened once.
And she definitely died.
She totally died because those, what were they?
The binars.
Binars took their memory out of the ship. Season one episode.
Can you feel in the holodeck? Like, I know in this one they kind of say that you can be hurt.
Yeah. Matter, its energy gets changed to matter. So yes.
Yes.
Wait.
So like you touch it. Yeah. Energy and matter in the Star Trek universe are interchangeable.
That's why people are able to have sex in there.
Oh, so you can. You definitely can die.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You could die if the mortality controls are overridden. You're not supposed to be able to be hurt, but almost every time they go in there, someone gets physically injured.
If energy can turn into matter, how come they can't take it out of the holodeck?
It only works inside the holodeck. They explain that later.
They do explain that for now, that's how it works.
But unless it's a piece of paper for some reason.
Yeah.
You can take that out.
Which is confusing. Please, somebody help us out here. And I do have a couple corrections from last week's episode, by the way, being helped out by Twitter. Because I was ranting about something. Apparently, I was way wrong.
Oh, the
with the
Constitution
ships and
class?
The classes. Yeah, I was way wrong.
Yeah, you're
and
wrong.
And I told Memory Alpha to shut up. Yeah. I wanted to live in
the answer was actually in front of me, and I tried to correct you.
And I said, shut up. No, there's no way that's right. And it's right.
Speaking of the ship, though, Moriarty has built a device that can change the altitude control of the ship. So he's like, from the holodeck, from things that don't actually exist, built some kind of steam engine that can mess with the ship.
So here's the thing. So he now can access the holodeck, right?
Yeah.
Does the holodeck respond to him?
Yeah, he can call the Arch. He just can't leave.
He just can't leave, so he can't materialize himself.
Right,
so,
right.
But, like, why is he... And he still knows everything he knows.
He doesn't know everything, and he's, like, trying to mine Pulaski for information. He's being super polite to her. He's just like, you know, tell me if I'm on a ship or not. He's just, I can't, like, tell you that, Moriarty.
How did he... How did he figure out how to mess with the ship?
I don't know.
He saw them doing it.
He saw
We watch him at the archway.
How did he figure out his steam
Yeah, how did he build the steam
his steampunk
thing? Oh, that is completely unexplained.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he built, like, some steampunk shit.
Also, wouldn't
and,
he
like,
know more different technology, like futuristic technology that could
he figure out the stuff in the arch?
Well, the insides of it are probably futuristic.
He's just kind of MacGyvering what he has.
Yeah,
know?
I guess he's only got parts from London.
Right.
You know?
In, like, 1889.
Okay, yeah. So let's assume that he is using just, like, energy, and it's manifesting as an image of steampunk thing, but really he's just controlling it while he's in a system.
Yes.
He's just, his thoughts are controlling
he's
it.
He's controlling
and
the
manifesting it to, okay.
Yeah.
I'm on board.
Yeah. Cool. So he's doing that.
I am. It's making a lot more sense.
Yeah. He's doing that, and it's messing with the ship, and people in the rest of the Enterprise agree that they need to do something about that. So they get in, like, the conference room, and Data is still dressed like a dork. Geordi is still dressed like a dork.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, look.
I do not like that assessment of their clothing. They're cosplaying. It's fine.
Also, if you guys noticed, Data keeps calling Geordi Dr. Watson.
Yeah, Geordi keeps calling him Data.
Data.
So they're like,
Geordi's not good at this whole thing.
They're trying to explain to Captain Picard's, like, we were playing and we made God. By accident. You know, Picard does not have time for this.
Poor Picard. Thinking he had, like, three easy days.
Exactly.
Just hanging out.
He never has three easy days.
Never.
So he's like, well, I got to personally meet with Moriarty. I got to do something about this. By the way, get me a costume, because I love dressing up.
Why does Worf have to dress up?
I don't know.
He didn't. Because he doesn't even go in there.
He doesn't go in there at all. Because
it's fun.
Worf, so this is the part I didn't understand.
Worf's like, I better tag along.
Well, we can just get a security team in there, and it's literally a room.
Yeah.
We can just sweep the room because she's in there.
So that was my question, too, because, like, she's the only matter inside that room.
They can't get her out for some reason.
Why can't they teleport her out?
That's what I was wondering. If it operates on the same principle as a transporter, why can't they just do that?
They can detect her actual, like...
That's a really good question. I think they could. I don't see any reason. They just didn't think of that solution.
They just didn't think to do it?
Also, there's a lot of very easy ways to save her.
Because she's physically there, and they're like, well...
But come on. Put yourself in Picard's shoes. A self-aware being is now in the holodeck. Captain Picard would totally want to go meet that being.
I guess, but, like... They need to get the person out first.
As opposed to, like,
she's being held hostage. They need to transport her out.
His entire ship is being held hostage. Like, the entire ship is in danger.
Yeah, he can mess with the ship. Yeah, that's true.
Maybe that's why they don't teleport her out. Because if she just disappeared, he's gonna use that steampunk machine like crazy.
That's a good point.
I guess so.
So he's got to dress up, and he's got to go in there and... You know,
he's
got
to dress up.
Him.
I don't even think he has to dress up.
He
wants to dress up.
Yes, he just wants.
He
basically says that.
Yeah. So... He goes in there to try to meet Moriarty, and Moriarty releases Dr. Pulaski, and...
Who's just hanging out eating crumpets,
right,
by the way.
She's fine.
Not scared at all.
Even though it said that her mortality override had... mortality protection had been overridden or something.
Yeah.
Like, why is that allowed to happen?
I don't know.
Why does that exist?
It's so dumb. It happens all the time, too.
Yeah.
Just turn off that function, please.
Yeah. Whoever built this thing is like, this is a death trap. Just shut it down.
There would be no reason to shut down the mortality thing.
Yeah. They also almost get accidentally vaporized by, like, the self-cleaning thing. They get, like, stuck there sometimes.
There's a lot of problems with this.
Cyrus Redblock tried to leave the holodeck. He was like some villain in a first season mystery, and thankfully he disintegrated. But, like, I don't know. There's a lot of things
it
wrong.
It really,
with the holodeck.
Yeah. For a sex machine, it's trying to kill a lot of people.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
it's just like
it's not only a sex machine.
It's mostly a sex machine.
Patrick's face on that was like,
it's mostly.
It's not.
You
it's
know
not
it's
only.
Mostly for that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, it really
is. It's like, oh yeah, we're just gonna go play sports.
Yeah.
In there.
Yeah.
This sport that no one has ever heard of.
And people are only in the holodeck for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
five to 10 minutes.
Okay, so sex totally happens in there. That's fine.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But we watch Worf battle in there. Like, it's a training device. We watch Wesley in there as well, working on his ship's stuff.
Yeah. Did we watch him do that, or did we watch him tell someone that's what he was going in there to do?
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't think we ever saw him in there.
Yes.
Yeah. Working on, like, you know, when he was training for Academy.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. I don't know.
It has use.
Yeah.
And in Deep Space Nine, they use it for all sorts of things, including sex.
Yeah. Well, but it seems like it's either used for, like, sex or things that can kill you.
Yeah.
And, like, Worf uses it to fight things, which is basically sex for him. And...
yeah.
Like...
That's fair.
It just seems like there's a lot of things wrong with it. The risk seems bigger than the potential benefit, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. No, definitely. And it seems like really sophisticated for what they use it for.
Right.
Like, right. More people should be studying this thing.
Yeah.
If it could create life.
Right.
Right?
So, yeah, this is the conversation that he has with Picard. Because Moriarty is, like, talking to Picard. Picard wants to figure out what is going on. And, like, A, he wants to make sure that his ship isn't going to get destroyed. Because he tells Moriarty, it's like, look, I'm responsible for everyone on this ship. Please don't blow it up. That would be bad. Also, you know, what's your deal? And apparently Moriarty is different from all of the other programs that have been created, even Cyrus Redblock, because he knows he's a program from the very beginning. He knows what he is.
Yeah.
And he's like, doesn't that make me, you know, a sentient being?
He is!
Which he kind of is. He's got a point.
As much as Data is.
Right.
He is. I don't understand how he... Okay, so he completes his task. He completes the parameters, which are to outsmart Data.
Yeah, Data's like, hey, you beat me, I give up.
Shouldn't the program end right there?
That's what I thought.
As soon as Data surrenders, the holodeck should be like, oh, it's done.
Oh, but he
this guy's destroyed. Executed.
Yeah,
but he overrid.
It would just unthinkingly end its life.
But he provided an override for that.
He was able to override.
Yeah, that's what they've been saying. Because he went completely off the rails. Like, yeah. That's why there's no mystery. Like, so he didn't do what he was designed to do.
That's basically
because he was
what
self-aware.
He's telling Picard. He's like, if you shut down this program, you're going to kill me. And they're getting into this, like, brief argument about, like, what constitutes a living thing or a sentient being. And I'm kind of on Moriarty's side here because, first, Picard was like, well, you know, you're not made of matter. He's like, well, what does that have to do with anything? Like, and anyway, he kind of is because the holodeck takes energy and transforms it into physical matter. And he's like, yeah, and I know that that's what happened to me. I know what I am. I'm able to reason with you. Like, I'm basically the same thing as Data.
Is Moriarty better than Data, though?
Might be.
Yes, by design.
Well, he was like, he doesn't want to be...
Except he's trapped in the holodeck.
Yeah, he doesn't want to be a villain either. He's just like, I just want out. Like, I need to be able to leave. And Picard's like, sorry, you can't. Unless if you were a piece of paper, this would be no problem. But
that's so true.
It's true.
You're a person which is different for some reason.
So just to tease just for a moment, Ship in a Bottle, one of my, again, favorite Star Trek episodes, is him and his escape plan. It's so well done. Because he does want out. That's all he wants.
Yeah.
How is he... How much time was put into making Data? Was a lot of time?
It was a good bit.
He's basically made by a mad scientist.
Yeah, he has an origin story. And
three different versions.
There was
original
versions of him.
Because it sounds like Geordi made a better version of Data in like four sentences.
Yeah.
Well,
that's kind of by accident, though.
All of Starfleet did because of all the work that's gone into that computer, as opposed to being made by a mad scientist.
Yeah, he just kind of pressed a button.
I don't think, like, ethically, Starfleet would really want self-aware robotics.
This is there's a lot of
it doesn't align with their ethics.
I think it's an interesting conversation that they have at the end, and because he's like, you can't shut the program off, you're gonna kill me. So Picard just like, all right, we'll save you. You'll be saved in the computer system.
Yeah.
That's where you live.
We're going to back you up on a 3.5 floppy.
Yeah,
basically.
But we got to shut it off. Because
we have a whole 16 megabytes of memory.
But it's weird because Pulaski says, like, he's like, oh, well, I guess I'll see you again. And she says, well, you know, I'll be much older. Time won't pass for you because he'll be like, I guess, in some kind of stasis, or he doesn't understand the passage of time like humans do. And he just kind of gets saved in that thing and goes away.
Yeah.
Like, that's how they solve the problem.
Which is such a cop-out. The original ending that I talked about at the beginning would have been a lot more interesting.
What was the original again?
Where Picard tricks him into walking out of the holodeck.
And he dissolves.
He kills himself, effectively. With his own ambitions.
That doesn't seem like a thing that Picard would do, though.
Well, that was Gene Roddenberry's point.
Yeah, given the conversation that they just had. And I think it was an interesting conversation. Like, you know, what is life? Whatever. It's a very Star Trek kind of thing.
I don't understand why they even needed Picard to solve this.
Right.
Because Data should be solving
this. This conversation would have been much more interesting if it were between Moriarty and Data.
Exactly.
Totally, because they're on the same page.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That could leave the holodeck.
And I agree with you, Pat. Like, I don't think the ethics of Starfleet would ever create this situation.
Here's what I thought was going to happen. I thought it was going to be like this ethical thing, but I thought for sure it was going to be Moriarty taking Data's body. And Data having to live in the holodeck.
Oh, man, that'd be messed up.
And then they'd have to find a way to, like, get out and trick him out of it, back into his body.
That would have been a dope episode.
That would have been a great episode.
That would have been really cool.
And that would have been a hard mystery. And Data could have only solved it by having some type of inspiration that made him more human than Moriarty. So then you wouldn't feel bad when Moriarty was dead at the end, because it turns out he was just a program.
Right.
Like, it would have been way better, and we would have taken one step closer to proving that Data is actually a living being.
Yeah.
But isn't Data just a program?
I mean, not really. He's
a program living within a machine that can operate and walk around.
But yeah. I mean, that's basically what Moriarty was saying. He's like, well, I'm made of energy, which is turned into matter, and that's basically what Data is. And that's kind of what, like, humans are, right? Like, we're just pieces of meat that have consciousness.
Right.
Like, we have brains or thoughts and feelings and memories.
Is the part that makes it not life or not, you know, a being, is it the flawlessness of the program? Like, us as humans, like, DNA or whatever, or cells, and everything is not perfect. Not everything
never,
we think
right.
of is never... is. Whatever.
I definitely know I am not perfect.
Exactly.
Right.
I definitely know you're not perfect too.
Yeah. I agree.
But
Oh my God, you guys, thanks.
Is it simply the flawlessness of the program? When the program gets too flawless, it is not living anymore. Because that seems to come up in, like, all throughout sci-fi.
Right.
All throughout sci-fi, it's just like, okay, we invented this thing. Oh, it's just a thing. It's not actual life.
Yeah.
And
HAL 9000 is self-aware.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. No.
And
yeah.
Is it purely the flawlessness of something that makes you question whether or not it is alive?
I think it's the self-awareness, to me.
To know itself?
There's something to
I think
know.
Therefore, I am.
Yeah, that's
which
what
I
he
quote
says.
In this episode.
It's like it's his own, like that he's aware of his own consciousness. He's aware of his own surroundings and, like, his position in the world, and he knows what he is, and knows that he knows what he is. So
and knows that he knows.
Yeah, knows that he knows.
Exactly.
So he's able, like, the fact that he's able to argue his own humanity, for lack of a better word, to Picard, I think, kind of.
Right?
That's enough for me.
I guess,
at least enough for me to second guess turning the program off.
Like, also,
what if
has
I'm
a fear of death.
See, that's the part.
That's the other thing.
That's the part that I don't understand. His fears of death would have to come from a want. So he would actually have to
wants to know
something.
More.
He wants more. So why doesn't he just keep at the arch or keep at the holodeck or keep learning more?
Because he thinks the program's going to turn him off. Because if he gets turned off without getting saved or whatever, he dies. Is this a Christian show?
Yeah, it really is.
Sometimes.
it feels
that way sometimes.
This is like some kind of like weird sci-fi someone found in a thrift store.
Well, do you think that...
It's like something that was on
saved
EWTN.
Language, do you think that has Christian undertones to it?
No, I don't.
I'm
just kidding.
No. The child...
That was really ham-fisted, though.
Yeah. Whereas even, I guess, the last episode where Silence has Lease was kind of this idea of a higher power. This episode, though, I think is more
More philosophical.
Yeah, technology and what makes you alive. If Data is alive, which I think we have spent a season and a few episodes establishing, yes, he is. Like, he deserves life just like a human being does. Now, is this character created within the holodeck... by a machine, is that alive?
Yeah.
And they they get into this a bit more later.
I, you know, I'm 100% sure I've probably like heard a homily about this episode because like every priest is an enormous nerd.
Yeah, right, right.
Star Trek. So like, I'm sure that this has come up. You could probably interpret this a thousand different ways.
Right.
Because they're arguing about what the meaning of like what the nature of life is.
Yeah. What does it mean to be alive?
Yeah.
And again, it goes back to that initial question: is Data alive?
But they like table the discussion. They save him. They're like, well, we'll get back to that later.
Yeah, and
see
it doesn't seem very urgent at all.
No.
Like, no, you're at the beginning of season two. You got plenty of time.
It's not urgent to Moriarty.
Moriarty's
he's
like,
I guess that's a compromise. Okay. All right, as long as you're not going to kill me.
And he had the upper hand the entire time.
Yeah, the ending is kind of weak.
Yeah,
I would agree that the ending of this episode is leaves a little bit to be desired.
Well, yeah, because like it ends because
they set up some great stuff.
Yeah, it ends with that, and like Picard is talking to Geordi about the model ship that he built. That's it. That's the ending.
Yeah.
How come Moriarty
wasn't? But do you see the metaphor that's going on here?
What, with the ship?
With the ship, like I built the ship and I'm proud of it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And he says
we also built Moriarty.
Yeah, and he says something that's like, oh, you know, I'm kind of sorry that I misspoke and I accidentally created life. Oops.
Yeah.
And Jesus. And Picard's like, well, you know, just like there's only small damage to the Victory, there's, you know, there's only small damage to the Enterprise. It's fine. You know, we make mistakes, whatever. Mm-hmm. And that seemed to be the point of the episode. Is like, you know, humans make mistakes. We build stuff that's kind of, and we learn from those mistakes. We build better stuff. That's kind of like the point, I guess, of that little ship metaphor.
And maybe back to your earlier point, what makes us human is our ability to make mistakes and learn from them. That's what Pulaski is saying at the very beginning of the episode.
Yeah.
Whereas Data makes very few mistakes. And that's what feels inhuman about him.
It's like the uncanny valley, you know? What? It's a term that's just like, if you see a puppet or like a 3D CGI image of a human, but it looks like just too close to perfect for a human, but not quite. It's what's called in the uncanny valley, which is like this region of the brain or something like of human responses that it looks unsettling to us.
Okay, yeah.
But if it's like cartoonish, you know, and kind of messed up, it's like, oh, okay, that's fine. Or if it looks just like a human, then it's fine. But if it's like not quite, but what still looks good, it's called the uncanny valley.
What is their responsibility to Moriarty now?
That's what I'm saying.
To sustain his life, to like keep
you gotta
going.
Wait for ship in a bottle.
Oh, fuck.
Because their responsibility, they promised that man that they were gonna come up with a way to get him out of there. And I'll tell you this much, they don't, and he's pissed.
I would be too.
So that's his real origin story.
It's so interesting because now they owe it to him to get him out of there. And we don't see that happen as quickly as he would like.
I just wish he was bad.
Yeah.
He kind of is.
Well, not yet.
He wasn't bad at all.
He's a little selfish.
Well, yeah.
He built a steampunk machine that shakes the ship.
He's trying not to die, though.
Yeah. That's just about it, though. He was just trying not to die. He wasn't actually like trying to take over or trying. He didn't have a maniacal plan.
Right. It's true. Well, I threw out on Twitter that we were talking about this episode.
Oh, okay.
Uh-oh.
And a couple people hit us with tweets about what they think of it.
Oh, really?
Engineer at ENGRPE says, everything with AI is looking for the opportunity to kill you. Which is super true.
Yeah.
Except for Data. Data is AI, but his brother Lore is trying to kill us all.
He has a brother?
He has a brother, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he shows up in season one. He comes back a couple times. He's like Data, but more charismatic. Rob Abrazado says, the only good thing in the series that involves Dr. Pulaski. which is fair, because I do not like her
I'm not
all.
A fan, but you know, I think she plays her part pretty well in this, which is supposed to be as a foil to Data.
Yeah.
She does not like Data.
No, she does not. And his handle is at FLATVURM.
I don't know. This is just kind of a middling sort of...
Ooh, well... That brings us to the part of the episode where we like to rate this episode of Star Trek The Next Generation. If we thought it was awesome, something you have to see, we set to kill. If we thought it was okay, fine, set to stun. And if it's avoid at all costs, just skip it. It's leave it in the holster. So, Carlos, what did you think?
I got to leave this one in the holster.
Oh, what? Damn. That is cold. That is cold.
Nothing. I mean, really nothing. No one gets anything. No one gets what they want at all.
I thought I was getting through to you, man.
No one gets a mystery. No one has fun. Like, the bad guy doesn't win. The good guy doesn't win. They just decide to hit pause on this, like, event that happens.
I'm yeah. Sorry. I'm going to say set to stun. I considered leave it in the holster, but, like, I don't know. I thought the conversation at the end is what saved it from leaving it in the holster.
Really?
I thought that was good. I thought it was good. It would have been better if it was between Moriarty and Data.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is what I am starting to come to expect from Star Trek is, like, yeah, you get some fun sci-fi stuff and then a little, like, philosophy stuff at the end. That was cool. But, again, kind of pissed I didn't get a mystery. There wasn't even really a challenge. It was just...
They could have done so many mysteries.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
they were teasing mysteries the entire time.
And there was no mystery.
I was just like, bullshit. Yeah. I was just waiting for a mystery to happen and Data to be solving it, and like Geordi start helping him with more of the human side of it.
Right, yeah.
To like solve the mystery.
And the first 15 minutes of this episode could have been cut.
At all.
Paramount, just let me and Carlos write all these episodes.
Yeah.
From anything that has a mystery, just let us do it.
I think you're both wrong. This is a set to kill episode.
Damn. That's going to mean nothing. That means nothing now.
No, it does. It means a lot. This is an awesome episode. You guys are crazy. How did you not have a blast? First of all,
I just told you. There's no mystery.
There is no mystery. It's what is life? Such a big question, and they attempt to answer it.
Again, do they, though? I feel like they just put a pause on that.
Maybe they do,
but they try to answer it again and again and again in this series.
But that wasn't in this episode.
But this episode sets it up so well. And it also sets up my favorite Star Trek episode. I love it. I get giddy every time this one comes on. And I love their dorky costumes. I can't believe you didn't like those.
No, I thought it fits with the character.
They're having fun.
I just like making
it's
fun of them.
It's a day off.
I just like making fun of them.
People are allowed to have a day off. They deal with so much bullshit in their lives. They just want to go play in the holodeck. And it was fun. Set to kill. You are both wrong. All right.
Got that out of your system?
I was
keeping that in.
Yeah.
I could not believe all the negativity.
It's not negative. I'm sorry.
I love this episode.
Man, that's my job, man. I'm sorry.
And I agree. It's got some problems. A piece of paper.
Yeah.
The ending to me, that conversation is great, but they don't really solve it.
Nope.
But it's a great episode, and so far, the best episode of season two.
Yeah, that's a low bar, though. First of all, there's only been three, and the other two were real bad.
I liked it.
Yeah, no, it was fine.
It was fine.
I wouldn't say skip it. Carlos said skip it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm mad at Carlos. We're not talking for a week.
Yeah. This entire episode could have been like one like 5-minute flashback episode in your ship in a bottle.
Yeah. Just like describe to someone what happened. Yeah, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Well, Carlos, is there anywhere anybody could find you or anything you want to talk about before we get out of here?
This is like my begrudging like plug right here.
Yeah. I'm like rolling
kick
my eyes.
You out.
Yeah. Before you never come back to the Peach Pit.
Yeah, I do a show Thursday nights at 8 at the Crowd Theater called Skull Mountain. You guys can check that out. Free show. It's like a variety show, so we have stand up, improv, all that type of stuff. Also, Patrick and I will also have a new show coming out.
We're also working on a new show.
It's a live stream Dungeons and Dragons show called The Dungeon Rats. So look out for that soon.
And keep listening to this show. Give us a rating on iTunes. You could listen to my other show that I do with Zach Mass, Politicked Off. Carlos was on that on our last episode. It's a lot of fun. And look out for more Peaches and Hot Sauce videos. We're going to produce a lot more content for you in the coming months, so keep an eye out.
Awesome. Yeah, so speaking of Dungeon Rats, on my Making New Friends podcast, I recently dropped an episode of us playing D&D together, working through the characters and stuff, because that's what we want to do before we officially launch this like interactive live stream thing, is make sure we're happy with who our characters are and what we're doing. So that's on the Making New Friends podcast if you want to check it out. It's called Game Night, and I think we're going to do another one.
Yeah.
So yeah, check out that podcast. Follow me on Twitter at PatLikesATweet, because Facebook is for noobs.
Let's see what's out there.
Peaches. sauce. Peaches.